In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
The Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Going to be joined momentarily by Brian Batko of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette on the Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. I'm already getting hell from a tweet that I sent out. I said it was a disastrous Friday for Troy Faltanu. Gave up 2 sacks and got hurt. So I said, get used to Dan Moore at left tackle and Broderick Jones at right tackle. People are saying, oh, it's a rookie. Growing pains. Are you missing the part where he got hurt? And when you're a rookie and you didn't have the job and you were fighting for the job and now you're going to miss 2 weeks, you can't look at that as anything other than disastrous. That's not even a hot take. Mm-hmm. That's just reality. Like, he will not be a starting tackle in Atlanta if Dan Moore Jr. is healthy. Period.
Right. He just doesn't have the reps.
Right. So I don't know how it could be looked at as anything other than disastrous. He played bad, and then he got hurt. So you think the coaching staff's going to have faith in starting him week one in Atlanta? No. And we thought that might be a possibility. Joining us now to get into all the Steelers stuff, practice, the game, everything, is our buddy from the Post-Gazette, and that is Brian Batko. Good morning to you, Brian. How are you today?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
We are wonderful.
Do you have your coffee?
Yes, Doran, the coffee machine has been cleaned and descaled.
Oh, look at that. Oh, that hipster little. What do you even call that?
What is that? It's like something in science class.
There's a funny story behind this cup. Did you guys ever watch that show Silicon Valley on HBO?
Yes.
I love that show. And one of the characters was drinking out of a cup like this. And my wife was like, oh, I like that. So being the conscientious, thoughtful husband that I am, got it for her for like her next birthday or whatever, and now here I am drinking from, it's a hipster cup is probably a good way to put it.
There's a nice head on that cup of coffee there. Are we working a little nitro in there? Look at that thing. There's a nice heavy cream maybe on top of that. Looks good.
I told you I did the descaling. It was not tasting right, and it was out of commission for last time we chatted, but we are back, and we are in business now with the morning coffee.
Very good. All right, do you agree with what I said then, Batko? I don't know if you heard it there, but just a disastrous, 2 hours, really, for Troy Faltanu, who gives up a couple of sacks and then winds up getting hurt. Like, there's no way he's a Steelers starting right or left tackle to begin the year.
Yeah, Crowley, I don't like to speak in absolutes, but I think it's pretty close to 0% when you're not going to get these next two preseason games under your belt. I mean, that's, the cruel nature of this game, right? I mean, he's all hyped up. He's about to play in the stadium where he grew up watching his favorite team. And then life comes at you fast. You know, you get beat a couple times, then your knee gets injured. And it looks like it's going to be it's wild how Dan Moore, I mean, he's one of the nicest guys on the team. I don't know if he's secretly punching voodoo dolls or what, but I mean, you think back to Zach Banner, his rookie year, and now Faltanu goes down in the first preseason game. It sure looks like for a coach who always talks about you can't box without sparring, I can't imagine they'd send Faltanu out there week one unless he comes back really healthy and looks really good in the practices between the preseason and the regular season, but even then seems like a really, really long shot.
I assume that there's nobody out there that would give an A grade to Justin Fields. So what grade would you give to Justin Fields, and why would it be lower than an A?
Yeah, Dorn, I don't think I would go an A for him in the preseason. I mean, I guess I'd go B minus, and that minus in there is for the botched exchanges. Always hard to say how much it's on the center and how much is on the QB, but it certainly wasn't blatantly on Nate Herbig, and from what I saw. So Fields, I think maybe there was a little bit of jitters there. Maybe there were a little bit of nerves getting out in front of tens of thousands of fans again, also knowing everything you do is going to be broadcast. I mean, there's a certain amount of pressure that comes with practicing out in Latrobe and Friday Night Lights, but it's not the same as being in stadium against another team. But I still saw some of the good that we had seen in the preseason, or excuse me, the training camp practices. I thought he was, right back looking pretty sharp again yesterday, so no worse for the wear after that performance at Acrisure Stadium. I'll go B minus. I think a lot of people would have liked to see it be a little bit more smooth, but he was hardly a bum or anything like that. It seems like some people want to run with one narrative one way or the other, whereas I feel like it was just not the best from Fields, not the worst from Fields.
Was Friday the first day the rest of Zach Frazier's life? Is he not turning back? Is he center one now for as long as he's a Steeler?
Well, he's not center one yet because Herbig was still out there when they took their first reps yesterday. But I'd be pretty shocked if he's not in there for Atlanta. I think it is trending in the right direction for him. I mean, not only do I think he's been putting good tape out there, I'm no O-line expert, but I mean, I feel like when the running back is way downfield or he's in the end zone and Big 54 is still standing up and there's a guy next to him on the ground, he's probably doing his job. So I've liked what I've seen from him in game. I feel like Mike Tomlin really likes him. I feel like the coaches and the players really trust him too. I mean, guys always talk about how he's wise beyond his years. We knew they loved him coming into the draft. So I think he's checking pretty much every box at this point. And I do think it's only a matter of time before he leapfrogs Herbig on the depth chart.
Well, is it only a matter of time before Peyton Wilson leapfrogs Landon Roberts at linebacker? Or could you see them creating just a special package for him throughout the season? He's going to make it very hard for them to keep him off the field on defense.
Yeah, I don't know that they'll create a package for him, but I think they will really want to get him into a specialized role, and whether it's the nickel or the dime. I mean, I think the linebacker situation is going to look like how it was, a few years ago when it was Miles Jack, Devin Bush, and Robert Spillane. I don't want it to look that way production-wise, or we're all going to be coming on and crushing them every Monday morning, because that trio just didn't produce much of anything. But I'm just talking about the allocation of the reps. I mean, I think you'll have Queen clearly as the every-down guy, and then those other two, Roberts and Wilson, will rotate in kind of depending on down and distance, the situation, how many D-backs you want out on the field at that time. But yeah, I do think Wilson he's going to have a role, and he plays fast and physical. Maybe there's going to be some, assignment errors here and there, but you'll learn to live with that, and you'll assume a sixth-year, 24-year-old rookie is going to get up to speed before long.
Brian Bacco is joining us here on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. So Marcus Golden retires, and DeMarvin Leal's playing some outside backer, gets home, gets to the quarterback. Have you heard what the heck happened with Marcus Golden? Very odd. Very odd.
Yeah, I haven't, but there were some of his Steelers teammates posting on Instagram and Golden, like, doing whatever the Instagram retweet equivalent is. So, I mean, it doesn't seem like there's any sort of, ill will or anything too strange happened. It probably just said, I came back for a week, and as excited as he was to be back, I mean, we chatted with him up at, by the cafeteria at St. Vincent College, his second day back, I think, and he was like, yeah, I kind of felt retired for a little bit. I was hanging out with my family a lot. He was probably pumped to get back, and then a few practices in, maybe you get a little homesick. Maybe you're like, man, I didn't realize how much I enjoyed that time with the family. I think I'm going to hang him up. So, yeah, I don't think there's anything, strange or too weird that happened there. Just an older guy who was out of the game for a while, dipped his toe back into the water and said, nah, it's a little too cold.
Corey Trice had a decent night, too. I feel like we always forget about him and, his emergence coming back from his injury this year. Last year, I feel like he could have got a lot of reps if he didn't get hurt in training camp. He's a big corner. He possesses a lot of the attributes that the Steelers want. Could he have a legit opportunity of starting this year? He had a pretty good night the other night.
I don't know about that, because I've been pretty impressed with Dante Jackson, and I think Mike Tomlin and company are as well. I think they're pretty comfortable with what Jackson's going to bring them opposite Joey Porter Jr. But again, in certain packages, yeah, maybe you'll see Trice in there, you know, as a third corner, or, you know, a bigger type of nickel or dime. You know, he did play well, I thought, and I agree with you, Doran. He's somebody who last year, when Levi Wallace was struggling, I think they would have loved to go to Trice in some of those moments. I've heard that they looked at his injury as much bigger loss than your typical seventh rounder going down in camp, because they were liking what they had seen from him, not just going into the draft, but once he got out onto the practice field. So yeah, I mean, it's kind of like the Calvin Austin story a little bit, right? I mean, delayed rookie year, pretty much lost, and didn't get anything out of it, but he did get to watch and learn, stay around the team a lot. And they had him out there with the first team yesterday because Jackson was getting what I believe to be a maintenance day. So that's a good sign for Trice that I think he may be right there, if not ahead of Darius Rush at this point in the pecking order.
What'd you make of Beanie's game? And what do you make of him not being the starting nickel, at least at the beginning of the drills yesterday?
Yeah, I'm not going to put too much stock into the, you know, quote unquote, change at slot corner on the depth chart. I mean, I think Mike Tomlin's going to mess around with those two guys and sort of go around in circles with him, Graylin Darnold, maybe even somebody else will work his way into the mix. We know Cam Sutton is looming 8 games into the season. But I think Bishop was fine. I did notice him come in on that one slot blitz. And, you know, I think he's going to learn from that spot in the defense. If you're a tick slow, a tick late, you just don't make the exact right move, it's really tough to bring the quarterback down coming on that play. But, I mean, Mike Hilton got so much better at that as time went on. Bishop's been studying everything Mike Hilton did as a Steeler, so they hope he can be that guy eventually. But also, Mike Tomlin has said, you know, he's not just going to anoint the guy simply because he's the first starting slot corner on the depth chart. He's still going to have to work for it.
Brian, this was awesome, man. Appreciate your time. Enjoy that hipster coffee, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. I will. See you, fellas.
Thanks, Brian. Take it easy. Brian Batko. That's what I read into the Beanie thing, too, by the way. He's been the starting nickel for a while now. He was the starting nickel on the depth chart, and Tomlin does not like to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the starting nickel in the game, and then he's pretty good, I thought, in the game. He's right about that blitz a little late, and that's a timing. That's not easy.
No.
That's not easy.
Mm-mm.
You can't have him be the starting nickel every single practice, every single rep.
Right.
Because you got it. It's not easy, kid. You can't just come in here, walk up on the Pittsburgh Steelers and start and be the guy from day one. You got to kind of have that fire lit under him, too.
For sure.
So that's kind of what I thought, at least whenever I saw that he was not the starter yesterday. Because I didn't see anything in that game that made me go, oh, geez, you got it demoted.
Yeah, you got him demoted. No, it's right. Just giving somebody else another opportunity to see other people at that position for depth purposes as well.
Yes. Let's react to some of what Brian Batko had to say, particularly about the offensive line. And could the Steelers have a reunion of sorts, Doran? We'll talk about that. Coming up next, you can text us, brought to you by Eggersteiner & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey. Odyssey app.
Brian Batko of the Post-Gazette joined us in the last segment. He covers the Steelers, obviously, for that outlet. And he said he doesn't like to speak in absolutes, but he would put it at about a 0% chance that Troy Faltanu is going to start at tackle for the Steelers against Atlanta. And I got people yelling at me on social media that I'm making too much out of what happened on Friday. He gives up 2 sacks and got hurt. And then I got someone else on Twitter, and maybe I just need to be off Twitter, who says Dan Moore is fine at left tackle. Media-driven hate for him. Look, if the Steelers thought Dan Moore Jr. was really good, then they don't spend a first-round pick on tackle in back-to-back drafts. They think he's better than I do. They think he's better than a lot of the media does. That's why he was still probably going to be the starter even if Troy Faltanu was healthy. But to pretend like they love him or that they think he's great, that's what you'd be doing, is pretending, because they drafted a left tackle in 2 consecutive drafts in the first round and traded up for one of them.
Well, they love his worth and what they got, you know, where they drafted him in the 4th round,
right?
And he's been able to play and be a starter. And I think that they drafted Faltanu for the future and for now, obviously, but you draft and wait out his contract, which is, this is his last year, and that's what you did at guard, too, for James Daniel and Mason McCormick. So, like, they're planning for the future, and hopefully one of those guys or 2 of those guys could start this year.
Yeah, and now if he were the solution, then you just don't draft a guy and you pay him.
Right.
Did you see what just happened there?
No, I didn't.
The entire time you were talking, I was trying to get a tissue out of the Kleenex box over here, and I couldn't get it. I don't know why. I just couldn't.
That's strong enough?
It's, yeah. How many reps of tissue can you put up, Dorian?
More than you.
How about your guy at the pit event? Do you remember this real quick? Just as an aside. I think it was Valisek's brother.
Oh, yeah.
And he put up a personal best, what?
2 reps.
2 reps at 225, 2.5. And he was bragging, and you're like, listen, buddy. Like, a guy, what? He's like 6'4", big guy. You're like, you did 2.5 at 225?
Crushed him.
He was like, guys, guess what? And you're like, that's it?
That's it.
The hell are you talking about?
You serious?
I got to mute this conversation, by the way, on Twitter. I'm getting killed for saying it was a disastrous Friday for Troy Faltanu.
I don't know if it was disastrous.
Oh, it's disastrous.
But it's not ideal.
If you were holding out hope for him to start game one, I can throw a caveat on there. If you were holding out hope for him to start game one or be a factor early on, with all else being equal, everyone being healthy, then it was disastrous. I don't think this means he's not going to be a good player or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then giving up 2 sacks to the players he gave up sacks to, Jerry Hughes and Daniil Hunter, those are really good players. They should have their way with the rookie. They should. Like, if they're not, then you're probably asking questions about what's going on with those guys. So, disastrous from a starting early in the season standpoint,
okay.
I will say.
Yeah.
So maybe I do need to amend it.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not ideal for him to be the starter because it's almost impossible now because he's going to be out.
Right.
You know, he's going to be out, and his last game tape is not great. So, like, that's mindset-wise is what he has to deal with alongside of rehabbing a knee injury that is, you know, it's a sprain, but, you know, a knee injury to a tackle is not great.
No.
So he's going to be dealing with that lingering probably throughout the whole season.
Yeah.
Just going to be honest.
Yeah.
And you start off like that, like it's a long season. So
now if he's mauling bodies and you're like, oh, we got to rush him back, that's different than, all right, well, he's going to be out a couple of weeks and he just stunk in his first opportunity in a stadium.
They definitely take more credence in practice, though, right now than the game. So whatever his whole pool of reps are, I'm sure that his reps in practice outweigh, the positive reps in practice outweigh the negative reps in the games. Like, they do both, but they still pay attention to practice.
I think Tomlin values the game tape more. Like, if you have a bad rep in a game or a good rep in a game, I think he weighs that different. But it's the body of work,
right,
in camp, in OTAs, in minicamp. And if you've done a lot more good than bad, then, you know, then that outweighs, yeah, a couple of bad snaps.
For sure.
I think it's a little column A, a little column B. And now you got this new thing on Twitter, Dorn, where I don't know if this showed up on yours, and we can thank Elon Musk for this. Now there's a most relevant thing right below your tweet. You can click on an arrow and it says most relevant. And I love that Twitter is now deeming what is most relevant to my post. To the responses to my post, Twitter is now saying, well, this one's most relevant. Well, one of the ones where it's most relevant, someone told me to STFU.
So we might need to reevaluate this algorithm here. Elon.
Where's this at? I don't see it.
Maybe yours hasn't updated yet. No. Oh, maybe I'm a guinea pig. Oh.
Yeah, you might be.
Super excited about that. Why not be the trial balloon here for Elon Musk's Twitter? The other thing that Batco said was he thinks Frazier's going to start game one. Based on the performance from Friday, based on how much trust they seemingly have on him from, like you're saying, what he's done in practice. And he did finally yesterday break in and get his first 11-on-11 snaps with the ones. So I think things are trending up for him.
Yeah, as they should.
Yeah.
I think that they knew that. They just wanted to give Herbig an opportunity. Herbig's not a natural center.
Right.
Right. So, like, they're just kind of just, all right, like, let's get this young guy some time to get his feet underneath him, and then let's ease his way in, and then let's see what he does on Friday. And like you were saying, they put a lot of – Mike Tomlin puts a lot of thought into the actual game reps, and he did pretty dang good.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's time.
If he didn't start – like, if everyone's healthy, like, if Faltano's healthy, everyone's healthy. If he didn't start game one, I would be much more concerned than if everyone was healthy and Faltano didn't start game one.
Right, yes.
Because at least Dan Moore's been a, I don't think a good one, but he's been a tackle for you for years. Nick Herbig keeping Zach Frazier from playing, it wouldn't mean the end of his career or anything like that, and it wouldn't mean that he's going to be a bad player or anything, but it would not be a good sign. And this is what's supposed to happen there.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what they want to happen there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's on track. You bring back Juju?
No.
Is it because he's bad?
Yes.
Yeah.
Bad now. He's not a bad football player, clearly. Made a lot of money and had a lot of production in the league, but he can't run.
He can't run.
His knee's all jacked up. He's old.
The Patriots released a statement. I think it was Gerard Mayo who said...
Gerard.
It was Gerard Mayo who said... We think Juju's got a lot of good football still left in him. No, you don't.
No.
No, you don't. If you did, you'd keep him. Like, you're not so blessed with wide receivers that you can just kick a guy who can play to the curb.
No.
So he doesn't have it. He had a good season in 2022. A really good season. Playing with Patty Mahomes. Won a Super Bowl. 900-plus yards. Nearly 80 receptions. But time has not gone well for him.
Mm-hmm.
He came into the league young. So I think it's misleading. You look at the age. He's been in the league now for 7 years. In the knees, he can't separate.
Right.
He played well. He made a play in that Steelers-Patriots game.
Right, down the sideline.
But, he plucked it off. I think it was a KZ.
I think so.
Look at you in the recall.
You like that?
It's all coming back.
You like that? Yeah, I'm ready to go.
I don't remember things anymore. But if you remember it and then bring it up, I can remember it.
Yes, you can see it.
Yes.
I can see it.
With the reminder.
Then I let you see it.
Thank you.
I'm the vision that you can see.
Do we have we're like the birds in Game of Thrones. You ever see that?
Nope.
Okay. The one dude can like get in the eye of the bird, and the bird can get in his eye. That's kind of what we're like, is what I'm saying.
Mm.
Yeah, you can't bring it back.
No.
You can't. If I had even a thought that he had, a little of what he had 2 years ago, then I think you throw it at the wall and see what sticks. But Scotty Miller can run.
Right.
Like, Quez Watkins, okay, no. No, he's no good. But I think you'd just be adding another Quez Watkins and a lesser version of Scotty Miller and a much lesser version of Van Jefferson. You would be adding a fifth or sixth wide receiver to a room chock filled with 4 through 6 wide receivers.
Right.
And that's not even to mention Roman Wilson.
Right.
And then, frankly, like, I like the guy that I like that he blocks. I like how hard he plays. I like that he's a run after catch guy, not because he's fast, but because he's a bulldog out there. I like all those things about Juju. But I don't need the TikTok stuff either. I don't need that for a player who can't play. I didn't like it whenever he could play. I don't need it from a guy who can't play.
Yes.
So I know some Steelers fans on social media were saying, hey, maybe you take a flyer on this guy.
No.
I don't think so.
No, we can't separate.
The Patriots need a wide receiver. That's why they were trying to trade for Brandon Ayuk. The Steelers need wide receiver help. Absolutely. No question about it. I don't think he represents help. I don't. I think the Steelers have a better receiving core than the Patriots.
Yes.
Because they at least got George Pickens. Who's their number one? Kendrick Bourne? Ugh.
Yeah, it's bad.
All right. What's the latest on Brandon Ayuk? I feel like we've been at this thing for years. I feel like my hair, when we started this, was beautiful and brown, and now it's just littered with grays. It's like the woman at the end of the Titanic. It's been 87 years or whatever. That's how I feel. But what's the latest on Ayuk? We'll get you up to speed, and we'll give you our reaction to that. Callis, you had something to add? Or you
I think
just
it's 84 years.
Well, an important correction. I'm happy you made it.
Needed that.
Needed it.
Yep.
All right, we got the latest on Brandon Ayuk for you. And we went, what, 3 hours a show? 2 hours, 40 minutes a show?
Yeah.
Without really getting into Brandon Ayuk, so you can thank us for that. But we do have an update, and we'll get to that in a moment. Callis, though, says he had something he wants to bring up, but didn't want to tell us what that is until we're on the air.
Well, I told Doran, but I just wanted to remind you, one of your adoring fans on Twitter reminded us that you made a bet with Pony. If the Pirates don't make the playoffs, you have to walk across, what is it, the Clemente Bridge?
Yeah, with a thong on.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Thong bathing suit.
I just wanted to bring that up. That's all. That's all I wanted to
Well, I'm saying this right now, because they're not making the playoffs. I'm going to pull a full pony, and I am going to give like $200 to a charity of his choosing. I'm not having these butt cheeks out on the Clemente Bridge.
I wouldn't be worried about the butt cheeks. I'd only be worried about the
front.
Yeah.
Only $200 too? What are you?
I mean, it was going to be zero, and you guys are going to get to see my Johnson, so which would you prefer?
I kind of want to see your Johnson.
Oh, man.
Actually, I want the whole city to see it, not just me. I want the whole city.
He sounded real. He really. I actually want to see a Johnson.
Like, what? Clip that. Dang. That's a drop from now until the end of time. Like, yeah, I'm going to try to.
Real curious there, Kyle.
I'm going to try to buy my way out of that bet. Yeah. I felt real good about deadline time, and I feel very no good now because the Pirates are going to have to go. What do we calculate? Like 28 and 17 the rest of the way?
You'll go viral, though.
Yeah, buddy. For all the wrong reasons.
Well, it is what it is. You're paying a bet.
It's no good. If I filled out the leopard thong the way that pole vaulter did...
Well, stuff his sock down there.
But then I'm going to have to shave my cheeks. Or get them waxed. It's just bad. It's bad for everyone involved. No one will be happy about this. No one. No, everyone will think this will be delightful. This is going to be really funny. Look, let's all stare and point at Crowley as he does the crazy thing, because he's always doing the crazy thing. And then I'll get out there on the bridge and everyone's going to go, oh, no. This was a bad decision.
I don't think so. I think there will be a lot of cameras and videos and pictures being taken. And you will go viral, because everybody's going to
point and laugh at the crazy guy doing the crazy thing.
I don't think that's why they're going to point and laugh.
Some people are pointing and laughing at Pony now because those T's and I's are taking a long time to cross and dot, aren't they? With Brandon Ayuk. Oh, man. So the latest reporting on all that is that the 49ers re-engaged with Brandon Ayuk in trying to keep him in San Francisco. And so they're going back and forth, at least according to reports with his agent, to try to get something done here. And I just wonder why it took them so long to do that. Like, you've had since the draft where you were really mulling over a decision to trade him, you should be negotiating that entire time. So here's my read on the situation. Brandon Ayuk goes out on Instagram and basically says, yeah, the Niners have been throwing a lot of stuff out there, basically leaking a lot of stuff. I think San Francisco is putting this out there because they are going to make a trade still with the Steelers, and it's going to be an underwhelming return, and they want their fan base, this is very public relations savvy, they want their fan base to go, oh, well, at least they tried to keep Brandon Ayuk. Because initially I thought this might be to light a fire under Omar Khan. You don't need any leakage for that. You might get someone, I'm walking across the bridge. You don't need leakage for that. They know the agent. They're talking to the agent. The Steelers have permission to talk to the agent. So if the 49ers are re-engaging with the agent for Brandon Ayuk, that agent would just call up Omar Khan and say, hey, we're re-engaged here. So I think this is all a very creative ploy by them to signify to their fans, hey, look, we are trying. And I still think ultimately, however, I don't know when, Brandon Ayuk winds up as a Pittsburgh Steeler.
Don't you think if the 49ers can't get what they actually want and they're not going to budge, that it's probably easier to just keep a guy that was a 1,000-yard receiver on your roster?
Absolutely. But it sounds like Shanahan's all ticked off about the whole situation. And that was, I guess, part of the report was that they bro-hugged, right? And, okay, everything's kumbaya over there now. I don't know. Ayuk knows how he's been treated this entire time. And what, Shanahan's just going to go from being incredibly annoyed to not annoyed at all? I never would have shopped this. I would have given him $28 million way back when.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they screwed themselves by not doing it, and they know they have one thing here that they can do where you're going to get compensation for him and where he's going to be happy, and I think that's you move on. I just don't think they can hold on to him anymore, despite their best efforts here.
I think they can.
You just pay him a lot?
Yeah, just pay him.
See, I don't know that they can go above and beyond. Because I read an article this weekend, and I can't for the life of me remember now where it's from. San Francisco is going to have to pay him significantly more because of the taxes out there.
Yes, I did see
that. Than the Steelers are going to have to pay him.
I did see that.
And when you think about San Francisco, they still got to pay the left tackle. They're going to have to pay the quarterback coming up soon. They just paid Christian McCaffrey. Like, they're up against it. So, like, what they offered before might have been all that they could offer before. And at this point, that might not even be as much as the Steelers are willing to offer. I don't know. I could be totally wrong about all this. And Brandon Ayuk winds up staying a 49er. And we're going to go, oh, my God, why did we do this for as long as we did? But a couple of things on that. One, I don't think I'm going to be wrong. And two, if I am, no one's going to remember it because they're all just going to be mad at Pony.
Yes, exactly. So you're good. There's cover.
I got covering fire from Andrew Filippone.
Ultimate cover.
Oh, man. They need him, though.
Yes, they do.
They need him.
This receiver unit would look really nice if there was a guy like Brandon Ayuk, because you can see that they were okay on Friday, but they'd be really good if there was another guy in front of them, if they were all pushed down a slot.
Think about, you're right, Brandon Ayuk and George Pickens, the top two receivers in the NFL last year in yards per catch, and then think about what we know about Arthur Smith's offense and how much play action we saw on Friday. You got play action with those two threats?
I'm not listening to anything you're saying. That sneeze or that blow to your nose.
You act
like right in the middle. I'm not listening to anything.
You act like no one can hear that.
I turned my mic off.
I was downstairs in the bathroom this morning, and I heard him from three stories down blow his nose. And he wants to do it right in the middle of a conversation. They act like we aren't going to acknowledge it.
Just quickly here, an addendum to that. I don't live with Doran. This was at the building, in our building. Yeah,
right.
I don't live in Doran's basement. No. After my wife kicked me out, he kicked me out.
Great detail, Crowley.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
It went through the pipes. I got a bad allergy situation going on over here. When I blow my nose, it's obnoxious. I understand that, but that's the only way I blow my nose. So I was trying to be a professional. Turn the darn mic off. You guys can't be professional. You got to lock in on a thing. Relax. Fan Morning Show Twitter poll is brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement Trust, PJ.com. And we'd love you to answer this question. Are we still putting pennies in loafers in 2024? Up next, Pompeiani let us down on Friday night. We'll tell you how. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. We're going to have Bob Pompeiani join us on Friday, as he's the play-by-play man of the Steelers preseason games on Channel 2. He told us he was all nervous. He was going to have to explain this whole kickoff situation. And then you know what he did? He punted.
Yes, he did.
He punted like Presley Harvin III.
Yep.
And you know who caught the punt? Missy Matthews.
Mm-hmm.
And Missy Matthews explained the whole thing.
Took it to the house.
And we got to ask him on Friday if that was a decision that he made or that Missy said, hey, I'll do it, or what happened there. But he rehearsed it and he practiced it. And we felt like he was in a good place by the end of the week. And he totally just, he punted.
I feel like Missy took initiative and she was like, you know what? I got this. Let me explain. I understand this. And he was like, okay.
And she crushed it.
She absolutely crushed it.
As she always does. I think Missy's very good at what she
does.
Very,
very good.
And then as we're on the topic of broadcasters, you brought this up. Stephen Brall, play-by-play this weekend.
Crowley, I was just talking to you about this off-air. Like, it took me a while to figure. I was like, whose voice is this? Because this is obviously new. And then they said Greg Brown's out because I think he was at his son's wedding. I'm like, I have no idea who this is, but this sounds really good. It sounds very smooth. Did they find a new play-by-play person to, you know, part-time go in there, fill in, whatever? I'm like, who is this? And it took me a while because nobody said who the names were. I knew it was KY. And then they panned to the booth. And I was like, that's Stephen Brault? Like, I was taken back. I was like, oh my goodness, this is unbelievable.
This guy's good. Who could it be? Oh, it's the guy who's never done color either?
Like, it was, like, I was I was blown away.
He did a great job, I thought.
It was unbelievable. Good for him. That's a hard job to do. It's like you just said, it's not color. That's way easier being a former player and doing color. But to do play-by-play and to make it sound as smooth as he did.
On TV, too, because it's harder than radio.
I mean,
radio, you got to explain more of the action, obviously. But you got all kind of graphics going, and they're cutting to this. And you got to talk about what's on the screen because they're cutting to that. And I thought it was pretty much flawless.
Impressive. One of the most impressive things I've seen this year.
He plays instruments. He sings. I've heard nothing but good things about Stephen Brault, the guy. Very talented individual.
Very. Jeez.
Good for him,
yes,
man.
Yes, absolutely.
Outstanding stuff. Do you think that they ever called KY Jelly?
Yes, for sure.
Yeah, 100%.
Because every time I hear them say KY, I think of Jelly.
Me too. Every time.
That'd
be one of the great nicknames of all time. Uh-huh. Just after years, he's just Jelly, and no one can remember why. It's amazing. It's a great nickname.
Yes.
We're starting that if it hasn't already been started, but I imagine it has. All right. Neil Walker's going to join us next. He can talk about Brault a little bit because Neil is relatively new to the booth, and he also does a great job. We can get into that and also, unfortunately, what looks to be the demise of the Pittsburgh Pirates. He's going to join us after the break. First, though, fan weather. It's brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. The Chevy summer drive continues at Sun Chevrolet. Up to $7,500 in rebates. Terms, conditions at sunchevy.com. Today, high 80, low 57.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.